Open your Bibles and start in the book of Genesis, 25th chapter, and 19th verse. The body of Christ is full of competition.
All right.
Some of y'all know I like wrestling. And going along with competition, wrestlers in the church, promoters in the church. The reason why I picked wrestling out is because wrestlers will do their own promotion, come up with a match. Boxers, they've got big people behind them. Wrestlers usually don't have people behind them. They'll promote their own match. Well, you've got these type of people who will promote themselves, contenders in the church. It reminded me of this one guy a long time ago when I was a little kid. I was watching the wrestling program, and he came on, and he got his guy with him, and he's like, "This Saturday night at the Cobalt Arena, my pockets are a little empty, but my man Bruce will fill them up." And then Brooks comes out, and he's saying, "Competition, I need tougher competition. Bring me tougher competition." Unfortunately, that's what the church is saying today. Competition. Competing on every level. Let's go to the scriptures. This is Genesis 25 and 19. "Now these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife." He began to pray, make prayer, intercede. He began to burn incense and worship for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreating of him. The Lord heard him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her." The wrestling beginning to go on even before they hit the scene. "The children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?'" In other words, why is this wrestling going on? "And she went and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations. Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy father.'" And the one, well, we're going to stop right there. "Two manner of people shall be separated from thy father." Jump down to 24. "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. After that came out his brother, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel." In other words, as they were being born, Esau comes out first. Jacob comes out and grabs his heel. They've been wrestling all along. And he grabs him by the heel. That's where the name Jacob comes from. It's actually Jacob. Talking about the heel catcher or the contender. Two nations in her womb. Two nations, two different. Two talks about opposition, enmity, division. Two nations, one foreign, one Gentile. Talking about two manners of life, two manners of action. Now, 27. "And the boys grew And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Esau, skilled in hunting, a man of the field. The field's talking about the world. Jacob, a plain man, upright, pure, pious, gentle, complete. Two men, manners of lifestyles in the body of Christ. One the Gentile. Now we're all Gentile, but going back to the illustration here. One was of Israel, the other was a Gentile. Talking about the differences. Talking about wrestling. Talking about competition in the body. Now, there's not supposed to be competition in the body. We are the body of Christ. But like I was telling the people in the class this morning, if you don't know how God operates, then you're left to your own thinking. And that's what the world does. The world competes in the workplace. The world competes in the athletic arena, on football. They just have to draft where now these young people are coming in to compete with the older ones that are already on the squad. When God adds in a smooth operation, a smooth venture, so that there's no schism. But man, in his duality, him being the two nature, he comes in with conflict. He comes in with competition. He comes in with schism. Comes in trying to pull one to the one side and one to the other. Separating out. Now, here, what happens is these two are competing, and they got promoted. They got one guy. They got promoters. Esau's got his dad. Jacob's got his mother. Promote, getting them in position. Getting them into a position to take one another's birthright. Now, Esau, being a man of the field, didn't value the birthright, which was naturally his. Firstborn got the birthright. They had the birthright. But he got him in a position where he was weak and sold his birthright for a pot of beans. It's worthless. Then after he found out what it really meant, now he wanted it back, but it's too late. Cried unto his father. Father didn't have no more blessing for him. The blessing went out to the one that was there first. Now that was deception involved. Competition involved. You see that, like I said, with the wrestling. Now, go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to continue on with this competition. Competition within the family. I'm going to start with the 29th verse. 12 and 29 in Corinthians. It says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. 31 says, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show you more excellent way. See, a lot of times we've been taught for so long, covet the best gift. Get the best gift. To the point where folks are competing for the best gift. Folks going after each other for the best gift. Talking to Brother Tony a couple months ago on this, it was a gospel music. Some kind of extravaganza where they would compete for a prize. And you think that, well, you know, who gets up, it shouldn't matter because they're all born again. They're all saying that they should pull for one another. Right. No, but as one group gets up, the other group is scowling at them and looking at them funny. Why? They're part of the body of Christ. Wrestling for a prize.
All right. There you go.
That word, let's read that again, 31. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. That word, but covet, means but being moved with envy to desire the greater gift so that they can be the most honorable person in the place, so that they can look up and say, see me. Now, one of the great wrestlers of all time was Nature Boy Ric Flair. Mr. Showmanship always came out with the best robes and the best clothes, talking about how he was looking the best and driving in the limousine riding, son of a gun, the best there is. Okay, but a lot of folks that did that, they done brought Ric Flair into the church.
Right.
Styling and profile.
Right.
Wheeling dealing. Go to shake your hand and pull back in. That's in the church. That mindset's in the church. Don't be moved by envy over someone else's gift.
Amen.
He says, yet I will show you a more excellent way. A more way according to excellence. Now, let's get into it. Well, you know what? We started there. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, and then we're going to come back. Second Corinthians, 10th chapter, and we're going to start at the 7th verse. We'll start there first. A lot of times when God begins to bless somebody, he begins to elevate them, start looking at them funny. Where they come from? How they doing that? Who told them that they could do that? 2 Corinthians 10:7 says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts himself to think that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. In other words, just because I'm going to use Pastor Rutherford, he gets positioned, I'm going to look at him funny. I'm going to begin to treat him differently than I was treating him before. Now I'm thinking that he's inferior. Okay. I'm thinking he's inferior. Competition in the church. Setting one against the other. I don't listen to this particular individual. I listen to that. That's in the church. 12th verse. It says, for we dare not make of ourselves the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Amen.
There is no comparison with the members of the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Each one has its own place.
Right.
It's just like my right hand and my left hand on my own body. They occupy a place on it. Each has a function. Okay? For example, my right hand here is holding this. If I want to lift this up, then I've got to use both hands.
Amen.
And both have to occupy their position in order to pick it up. Now, the left hand can't say, you right hand, you don't know what you're doing. We're going to switch places. And I'm going to switch. I can't reach this other side to lift it up. Why? Because it's out of position.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
God has placed us in position according to his glory, according to his desire, because he knows each and every one of us. He is our creator.
Amen.
He is the one that established the body of Christ. We didn't establish anything.
Right.
You know what we and we'll say lucky because luck don't have nothing to do with it. But we blessed to be saved.
Amen.
Okay, I'll say it that way. We're fortunate to be saved.
Yeah.
We're fortunate in the fact that God decided at the beginning of time that he was going to send his son down here. He could have let us all be destroyed.
Amen.
That's what I mean by fortunate.
Amen.
And yet we take advantage of it because I've been in the body of Christ for a minute and somebody else comes along and they begin to get raised up. Now I'm looking at them funny. Now I'm getting my peeps together and we talking about them. Or worse yet, if I can, I try to get them to join me. It was like another Ric Flair moment when they had one of the brothers, Iron Anderson, retired. So they need a replacement to keep the four horsemen going.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they're going to get Barry Windham. So they get Barry. Now they get to Brad. Barry Windham, he's 6'6", 270. A man that wanted the finer things in life. We offered it to him. Prestige, power, notoriety, money, what it belongs to the horsemen. You know why? We're the best there is.
That's what folks think in the church. They're the best there. They got something to offer you. And we're trying to persuade you to be like them.
Right.
They want you to be like them. When the object is, we're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to be like Christ. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians. People worried about the gifts. When the gifts are God alone to give.
Amen.
Once again, I know we say that covet earnestly, but here he's talking about folks being moved within you because of the gifts.
Right.
Folks being moved to separate folks out because of the gifts. Now, 13th chapter, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love or have not charity. See, charity is the more excellent way.
Amen.
Jesus drew people not by gifts, but by his love. He said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's how Christ was. When I was a child and I began to hear about Jesus, I was fascinated with his love. I mean, yeah, because at that time, I really didn't understand what miracles were. About 12 years old, I didn't really understand what that stuff was. Later on, I began to get an understanding of what it was. But I understood at a child age that Jesus loved me. So I wanted to know more about this. As I began to love this Christ that I was hearing about, God began to draw me to him.
Amen.
So that at the time I was 17, I was about 12 when the first time I really began to hear about it. When I was 17, I gave my heart and life to Christ. Why? Because I had an understanding of what he was. And now I can understand the miracle, but it was about more about his love and how he put himself on the line, how he sacrificed for me.
Amen.
So going back to this verse, though I speak with tongues, and I've been speaking with tongues since I was 17 years old. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. If I could use every, preach with every language known to man. And not only that, but angels. In other words, how the angels, not only because they use their human language to communicate with us, but how they communicate with each other. That language is different. If I could use that, have that, and I don't have charity as motivating me, all this time, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Making noise out of rhythm. Not making any notes. Not making any sense where folks can understand. 2, and it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, word of knowledge. Though I have that gift operating in my life, and all mysteries, know all about the hidden things, and know all the knowledge, the word of wisdom. And though I have all faith, so that I have the gift of faith, so that I can remove mountains, in other words, overcome the greatest of difficulties, and have not charity, I'm nothing.
Amen.
Nothing in the sight of God.
Amen.
Go to Matthew right quick. Matthew 7 chapter. Matthew 7:21. Back in what just was read here in that second verse. Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So it's not about the gift. Not about the gift. Kenneth Hagin Sr. said, "You cannot build a ministry on spiritual gifts alone." Use the word. The word always works. Man. That's what you're supposed to use. Use the word. That will take the competition out. Right. Let me tell you something. When I began to get an understanding of this, there was never any competition with Pastor Rutherford. I came up with Pastor Rutherford and Pastor Gardner came up with them. Okay, there was no competition. Now, Pastor Ives is here. There's no competition.
Amen.
Everybody has a part to a play in the body. Amen. The right, like I said, the left hand don't compete with the right hand on my human body. Otherwise, nothing gets accomplished. The only difference is when that other nation comes in. That nature of competing. That's where the problem comes in. Now I've got to outdo somebody, or somebody will try to encourage me to outdo them. Not necessary. Let's go back to Corinthians. So when I'm nothing in the sight of God, if I don't have love, the love of God, to motivate me to do these things.
Right,
because
right,
Jesus right. was motivated by love in the operations of the Spirit. He was
Amen.
Motivated by the love of his Father.
Amen. Amen.
And that's how he operated. Third verse. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned for my religion, and have not charity, it don't profit me nothing." In other words, it's not what about what I'm doing, it's about do I know Christ. A lot of folks get up and do a lot of great things, and men will stamp their rubber stamp on them and call them saints. You know, other organizations, you've done this and you that, so that makes you a saint. No, when you are born again believer and you separated yourself from the world by coming to Christ and he is now your savior, you are a saint. It's not about man's judgment on it. It's not about man's opinion on it. It's what God says about it. "But though I bestow, give away all my stuff and dole, and feed the poor, and give my body up to be burned, and have not charity, it's the actions of a hypocrite."
Yeah.
It's a hypocrite.
Right.
Once again, it's about me getting all the attention. Me in the, especially in the church, me doing this. Me doing that. We used to do it where folks, you know, especially when Pastor Hart was alive, we gonna press Pastor Hart. Pastor Hart asked for that offer. We gonna get up and we gonna show the church that we wanted the big shots coming down here and doing that. Now the offer that Pastor Hart was giving was genuine. In other words, God's gonna bless you for doing this. But we're trying to, instead of blessing the whole ministry and doing it sight unseen, you know, Jesus said, tell no man. When a lot of times when he did his miracles, don't tell nobody about it. Just give God praise.
Right.
Jesus went on his way. No, we want to put on a show.
Yeah.
We got to say, everybody got to see me.
Right.
It's just like the Joker who was there in Batman. Wait till they get along with me. That's the way folks at in the church. And then guess what? Because you wasn't motivated by God in the giving, now you got financial problems.
Yeah.
The thing that was supposed to benefit you now become a curse unto you. Why? Because you did it with the wrong motive.
Amen.
See, God is not a plaything. He is very serious in his action. If you do right, God will bless you. If you do wrong, you're in for trouble.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
down to the 8th verse. My Bible is a little different, so we're going to start here. It says charity there are affairs, but we're going to skip that to the next line. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They shall be brought to nothing. Whether there be tongues, speaking in tongues, interpretation, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I jump down to the 8th verse. I jump down to the middle of the 8th verse. I'm going to read that again. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, acquired knowledge, and the word of knowledge, it shall vanish away. 9th verse, it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. In other words, we know some things by learning, and we also prophesy the part we don't know about. God gives us and reveals it by divine inspiration. Now, God don't tell you, in other words, I'll use Pastor Relliford because Pastor Relliford represents the prophet in the church. When you stand before him and God begins to reveal, he'll reveal certain things. He don't reveal everything about you because it's none of his business. God's a gentleman. Okay, so he don't know everything like that. That's why it's dependent upon you to have a relationship with God for yourself. Amen. So that God will confirm the word that he gives you, that God has already spoken to you, how he's going to move for you and bless you, and so that we're not coming down, because we worship prophecy in this church.
Yeah.
We worship it. If there was a prophet in town, we were coming to see him. I'm being honest. Okay, I'm just telling it like it is. Folks could care less about the word, but the prophet coming down, we coming to see him. We have a church all week. Let prophet so and so get here, break the dough down, run you over to get to a seat, because the prophet is here. Highly anointed, everybody highly anointed. No, there's only one anointing. What is the title? Jesus. Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one.
Right.
Since there's only one Jesus,
and
he's got one body, that means there's only one anointing.
Amen.
Folks in the church talk about my anointing greater than your anointing.
There you go.
I know I'm being a little bit silly here, but this is not Star Wars. It's not the use the Force loop. That's what they think it is. Use the Force. You know how that is. Use the Force. And then you got Yoda. You got the Jedi Master on the top and those underneath him trying to get up to that level. It don't work like that. God has your part picked out for you. I don't try to operate in his part. Now, God may use me in flashes like that, but he uses primarily him. Okay? That's what he does. Fivefold ministry, prophetic, pastoral, apostolic, evangelist, teacher, all working together for the building of the body.
Amen.
So that there's no competition. I don't try to compete with him. I don't try to compete with Pastor Anise. Pastor Anise is a preacher. I'm a teacher. No competition between us. God uses us the way he wants to for his glory. And guess what? I can get just as much out of her ministry as I can here. Why? Because I got an open mind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not about competition, picking one over the other.
Right.
See, unless you with my group, you ain't nobody.
Yeah.
We're sitting and operating in church. I was telling you about the one time. Pastor Hart was still here, and he went out of town. Had just one lady here. I ain't mention no names. Some of y'all know. I'm going to tell you the whole story, but one thing I found out about that in that encounter that we had that Sunday, I found out that obedience to God's word will bring an anointing in your life, will begin to unveil the anointing in your life. Well, anyway, the Spirit began to move. And you see some start to get up and shout. Some was getting ready to fight. Others were sitting there saying, move me. And I'm watching all this. God allowed me to see, in other words, God began to unveil what flesh was and how it operates in the church.
Yes.
Because this one individual wasn't up there doing it, I'm not going to move, even though the Spirit moved. In other words, it don't count unless I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
That's the competition. That's the wrestling that's going on. That nature that's in it. See, let me tell you, even though I'm in the body of Christ, and I brought myself, that nature, I brought it with me.
Right.
God has given me the ability to overcome it. I have to overcome it with the love of God.
Yeah, man.
That's the only way you overcome
it. All the way.
The only way you overcome it is to allow the love of God, the agape of God, to overcome it. It takes practice.
Amen.
Because we all got that mindset. I tell you, I'm getting ready for church, and I, me and I got this little mirror. I like one in the bathroom. I like to use the one. Got this little mirror on my dresser. I'm tying my tie, and all of a sudden, here come the thoughts. This one don't like you. This one don't like you. That one don't like you. Here come the thoughts. Now I got to get ready to teach and hear these thoughts coming about who don't like you. Had to crush all that stuff so that I can operate by the power of God. Amen. That's the Amen. That's the wrestling match. Yeah. That's the fight that you have to wage.
Amen. Amen.
For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, when the maturity that we get, when the glorification comes, and we are going to have that, the end, then that which is in part shall be done away with. It shall be brought to nothing. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I was a child, that's talking about was not old enough to speak. In other words, to be understood. I spake that way. I understood. Mentally, to interest, in other words, my own interest, childish. I thought or reasoned as a child. Now, once again, here we go with the rest. I reasoned that as a child that I've been here longer than this one, so they shouldn't have the spot they have. That's the way a child was. I was here first. They shouldn't be with them. They should be with me. Don't play with them. Play with me. That's the way a child thinks. That's in the body. But when I became an adult, I put away the challenge. I put away the wrestling. I put away the comparison. And I understand that it's one body, even though there's millions of cells in this body, it's one blood in this body.
Right.
And all the cells share in the blood of this one, of Tim. Okay? So that one can't get more than another. In other words, it's just like they call that an aneurysm. I get a brain aneurysm, they got to go in there and relieve the pressure.
Right.
One part can't get too much blood.
Right.
One part can't get too much spirit. God puts out the measure of how much spirit you get.
Man.
The measure is invisible. He uses an invisible ruler you can't see.
Man.
So I'm going to use Brother Little John. Brother Little John could have just as much as I can. Why? Because God gave it to him. It doesn't matter that he's sitting out there and I'm up here.
Man. Man.
That makes him my brother anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't look down at him. I look at him straight to face. Man. The way Jesus looks at me.
Yes.
So that there is no comparison. There is no putting down. There is no difference. Thinking I'm better than he is. He's part of the same body that I am.
Amen.
When I thought as a child, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkness. We don't understand everything that we see. We don't understand everything. Now, God has given us guidelines, but even at that, we're finite creatures.
Man.
Right.
We're limited. Okay? We can't understand the total scope of who God is.
Amen.
Okay, especially with this flesh nature.
Amen.
Why? Because you got, that's the one that talks. Let me tell you something. I wanted my father, when he got saved, he thought that what he had learned was all there was. One thing God had told him was keep an open mind. As Christians, you have to keep an open mind. Why? Because God said the mysteries are going to be revealed.
Yes.
Okay, if you're stuck in your tradition, you'll be stuck in place.
Right.
Okay. God is operating under a new covenant. That's what the word testament means. I'm teaching you. That's what the word testament means. It means new contract. The old contract has passed away. Now there's certain things in it that you can use. Okay, but the old contract has passed away. We're in a new contract that was activated when Jesus died on the cross. His blood activated. That's the reason why we take communion on Sunday, to remind ourselves that Jesus activated this new covenant. We're now part of a new body, a new creation. And it's not alone. Jesus is the head. We make up all the members. That's why when Pastor Hart said, no law but love, no creed but Christ, I'm your brother whether you like my looks or not. Why? Because God has called all members, all races into this body. We are part of a new generation, a new race.
Amen.
The race is called Jesus. It's not called black. It's not called white. It's not called Jew. It's not called Gentile. All that's been erased.
Amen.
All that's been done away with. We're part of a new covenant, a new contract. And that's how we have to learn how to operate. But we don't know all of the things. God has not revealed all of it because we couldn't understand it all. So it says, but now we see through a glass dark. But then, eventually, we're going to see clearly. We had that glorified body. I'm going to have a total view as far as everything concerning the things of God. I'm going to know fully. Jesus knows me now fully. Okay? I don't know him fully. I understand parts of him. Right. I don't know him fully because I can't contain it all. But one day, when I see him after he comes back, I'm going to know him fully just like he knows me fully.
Amen.
Come on and give God a prayer. Now abide in faith, hope, and charity. These three are necessary to our state in God. Once again, salvation is not a spirit. Salvation is a state of being.
Amen.
It's our existence now. He says, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. Why? Because in heaven, when all the objects of faith and hope are in our possession, we don't need them anymore. We're not going to need it anymore. We're not going to need faith. I'm not going to have to hope for salvation or hope for God to bless me. No, I'm going to have the total blessing.
Amen.
I'm not going to have to use that faith anymore. Okay, that's going to pass away. But love, never going to pass.
Amen.
Never, no, never going to pass. Jump up to the fourth verse and we're almost done. It says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity or love is the fruit of the Spirit. Charity disposes one to bear injuries long and to be kind to those who injure them. Now this form of grace renders up. This is what makes you most like God. Not whether you can prophesy or speak in tongues or raise the dead. It's the love of God that makes you close to Him.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
What makes you close to God.
Amen.
Everybody, you may not prophesy or you may not speak in tongues, but you're part of the body of Christ and you can express that love and you can cause just as many to come into the kingdom as some pastor with his name in life.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
It's not about the gifts. It's about the love of God.
Amen.
Charity envieth not.
Yes.
Now, if you yield to it, it will preserve one for envying those who are better or richer than themselves. We see somebody with money and they spend it on something. I wouldn't have spent my money on that. It's their money. What they want. My daddy taught me one thing. Son, never argue over somebody else's
Come on.
Head up. It's your stuff.
Amen.
I'm not going to say a word about it or think a thought about it because it's yours. God gave it to you. Right. You're going to give an account to God for the use of it. Man, not me. Right. I'm going to give an account if I say something about you to judge you about. Okay? Right. So it says, it doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth itself not. It doesn't boast about its accomplishments or its achievements or it's what it has. It doesn't boast. Jesus had everything. Jesus lowered himself and became a servant. Amen. He served all mankind. He was the Son of God.
Yes.
Son of
man.
God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And yet he lowered himself and came down here and dealt with us. And allowed people to spit in his face and yank out his beard and give him a crown of thorns. And went to that cross and they cursed him. That's what love did. He drew men by that love. That's why I'm saved today. Did I deserve it?
Nope.
I ain't paid no price.
Come on.
He paid it all.
Amen. Amen.
And yet he didn't boast about it. He boasted. He was setting the path. See, a lot of folks, a lot of religions get that wrong. They think because he didn't boast that he wasn't God. God didn't have to boast.
Right.
He was a human being.
Amen.
He was setting the pattern for us. He was the pattern. So if he didn't boast in his human form, I'm not supposed to boast, even though I've got that same spirit in him. I've got Jesus in me, but I don't boast about it.
Man.
I tell him how much I love him and how much I appreciate him. And when I greet you, I greet you as a brother. I greet you as brothers and sisters as an equal.
All right.
Not because my name is Pastor Keith. Third generation preacher. All that stuff can go to the lake and burn. It don't mean nothing.
That's right. Amen.
Love is not puffed up. Doesn't have a high opinion of himself. And it doesn't get angry against those that don't share his opinion. If I don't share Pastor Relevant's opinion, he's still my brother. And I'm going to treat him as a brother. Look, this one. You got to get to the point where you just don't talk about it. You don't talk about it until you both can overcome it.
Yeah.
Live peaceably as much as possible with all men.
Right.
Amen. Fifth verse. Love, charity does not behave itself unseemly. I'm a man, okay? I don't go to my sister's in a, I can say it this way, a nasty way. Put it that way. You understand me? Treat them like women of God.
Okay.
And that's vice versa. They're supposed to treat me that way.
Right.
Married or unmarried. Let me tell you something. All of that stuff going on in the church. You heard it. Folks acting untoward. Unseemly. We're to treat each other with decency.
Amen.
I tell him, okay, somebody may be interested in someone else and you trying to, you know, set up whether you want to try to date this individual, you're still supposed to go to them gracefully.
Amen.
And if that individual don't want to be bothered with you, then you shake the dust off of your feet and you keep it moving. Sometimes they're going to be hurt feelings. Sometimes, your feelings may get hurt. Who wants to be rejected? Okay, but you keep it moving. You do not reverberate or come back against that person just because they don't want to have nothing to do with you.
Right.
Remember, you're not in the world.
Right. Amen.
You're not in the field like Esau was. Right. We're in the body.
Amen.
You have to treat each other according to the way Jesus wants us to treat each other.
Amen.
Love or charity seeketh not her own. In other words, their own interest only. Pastor, our niece got something that she's concerned with. I'm interested in what she's interested in. Why? Because it's going to help build the body. Sister Jordan had come to something. I'm interested in what she's interested in because it's going to help build the body.
Amen.
That's what this is all about. It's about edifying the body, building it up. That's what the love of God is. It builds. It establishes. It's kind. It comforts everybody. It don't have its own interest on. is not easily provoked. Every little thing don't set it off. Okay? We have to begin to be mature. Things don't go your way, you can't. A lot of stuff didn't go Jesus' way. Jesus had Jesus crying over was at Jerusalem. He was crying over because they was, but he didn't get mad and just he could have called down thunder and lightning on. He didn't though. He went down there and dealt with it. Even the thieves, they, you know, the ones in the money changers in the temple, they had an opportunity. Now, he had to kick them out first because if you just messed up the place of worship, okay, he had to get rid of them first. Right. But he didn't deny them from coming back in.
Right.
You had to use the place for what it's used for. It was a place of worship. They met at the den of thieves. That's why he kicked them out. But it's not easily provoked. It doesn't think any evil. In other words, put a bad implication on slight ground. Something don't look bad, so they must have did it. How was, what was that pastor Gardner was talking about? What was his sister's name? She passed away. She was a usher. Sister Home. She's taking care of business up here on 8 Mile. Vacuum cleaner place, but it was a porno place around the corner. So you thinking just because she's there, she might be in there. Well, they had, I think it was he and Jerry together, they had to go up there to the vacuum place, but then they said, oh, that's what she was up here for. She's up here in the vacuum
place.
You see, a lot of folks, man, Sister So-and-so was up there in the road. And you begin to spread it through the church. And they're as innocent as can be, but because we've seen something and our flesh gets agitated, they should have been nowhere near. You don't know what's there. But you're going to make a judgment on it, then you're going to talk about it. You're going to bring it back to the body and spread. Love thinking no evil. 6th verse. Rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Iniquity committed by others doesn't rejoice in it, though he should gain an advantage from it. That is, once again, falsehood. Something bad happens to somebody, I can take advantage of, so I'm happy about it. I'm happy they fed. So I can get my shine on. Listen to brothers and sisters talking about getting their shine on. I thought Jesus was supposed to shine. I didn't say, you know, I hear conversations, so it's not time for you to enter into every conversation. You know, you just pray for them and move on. But you're talking about getting your shine on. Pastor Gardner encouraged me. He said, you know, because he's seen what was going on before the transition and things, and you had to deal with things, and yet you had to obey them to have the rule over you. And he encouraged me and told me, he said, brother, I'm going to tell you, your gift will make room for you. In other words, as you obey God, God will make room for you. Okay, it wasn't a pastor then, just an elder. A lot of folks have passed over me, okay? Whether they were qualified or not, I'm not going to say. But God reminded me of something. He said, the son is not greater than his father. Remember when your father was his turn and how they passed over? Are you greater than your father? What did your father do? He didn't say a word. He got back in his word and did that which was right in my sight. And I'm expecting you to do the same.
Amen.
So what I do, shut up and keep on doing what I was supposed to do. God raised me up in due season.
Amen.
But it rejoices in the truth. In other words, when I hear something good about somebody, I'm happy for them.
Amen.
I'm glad God moved for them. Yeah, now maybe I may be in that, like, well, you know what? They moved for that sister or brother. He's going to do the same for me. Thank God for moving. He's moving. And he just let you know he's moving. Okay, because sometimes you get in a position where you may not think he's moving because things not going your way are going badly for you. But when he blesses somebody else, you can see God is moving. What does that do? That helps your faith stay activated, keeps you moving forward.
Amen.
Go.
Charity beareth often. I'm almost done. Come on, give God some praise. All right. All right. All right. Seventh verse. Charity beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. And it endureth all things. Beareth all things. It covers the mistakes of others. When they make a mistake, you keep it to yourself.
Amen.
What does he say? If the one your brother committed sin, you restore such a one. Didn't Jesus restore us?
Yes.
We were all sinners.
Yes.
Jesus restored us.
Yes.
Now, we were all together with him in the beginning with Adam, but Adam messed up. We are now been reunited in Christ, through Christ.
Amen.
So we cover those mistakes that others make.
Right.
It believeth all things. In other words, it's someone who entrusts you and they're believing on you to keep that secret.
Right.
Run your mouth about somebody, what somebody told you.
Amen.
Private.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Hopeth all things. Hopeth good things for other people.
Amen.
And endureth all things. It patiently beareth all affliction. People not treating you right. You have to bear up with it. Jesus bared up with it. What did they call him? They called him the carpenter's son. They didn't believe him, but he kept on doing the ministry. He kept on love. Finally, charity never fails.
Never.
Why does charity never fail? Because God never fails.
Amen.
And God is love.
Amen.
So if you attach yourself to love, you don't have to worry about no gifts.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about no gifts.
That's
folks
right.
worrying about no. gifts. I don't have to compete with nobody. All I have to do is show forth the love of God, and God is pleased with my work. He's pleased with me. And like I say, folks gonna see more of Jesus by you doing that than he is by you doing some shun being and shun dying and all of that nonsense.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank
you. Confused, but I'm gonna tell you this. I told some of y'all this before. Out there working on the job, and I knew this one lady that they like to go exercise. And, you know, they want to hear Christian music over there. First of all, that's nothing wrong with that, but folks ain't say they want to play their music. That's not the house of worship. Another kind of Christian, that's not the house of worship. It's a business place. Right. So I'm coming out and going around checking out on things, and all of a sudden I hear this sound. I'm the robot shot back almost. Somebody got their window open pretending to be Daniel. Nonsense. Why? Everybody understood what Daniel was doing.
Right.
The whole nation understood that Daniel was praying to his God.
Amen.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh mystery. You don't even know what you speak.
Right.
So you got your window open, making a whole lot of noise. Folks is confused. And then because you caught up in yourself, when you try to talk to them, they don't want to hear what you said because you're not coming to them with the love of God.
Amen.
Remember that. God is love. And that's how we're supposed to operate, so that there's no competition. Let me tell you something. You get sick, you're supposed to be able to go to any member of the body, and you got touch and agree, and God will accomplish it for you. Why? Because that's what his word says. You don't need proper so-and-so or apostle so-and-so. Let me tell you, I'm not trying to down nobody's work or nobody's business, but let me tell you something. All these little special things and trinkets and gimmicks and stuff, God don't need a gimmick. God got love. And his love is great enough to save the whole world. Come on and give God the praise. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, I'm done. We're going to do it a little different. I'm not going to have everybody come down, but I want you to take your neighbor by the hand. You have to take somebody by the hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, yes, oh God, Lord, your love is the greatest.
Yes.
Lord God, is able to move mountains, is able to save, is able to heal the sick, is able to save the soul. Lord God, I'm asking we as your people, Lord God, to consider that love, Lord God, to consider the more excellent way, Lord God. Put that in our minds and in our hearts, Lord God, so that there be no competition from one to the other, Lord God, that we flow smoothly, Lord God. Ah, Lord God, to begin to flow even as you and the Father flow together, Lord God. Ah, the love of God operating, Lord God, and manifesting itself in the earth, Lord God. Ah, to bring on the manifestation of the sons of God, Lord God. Ah, Lord God, and let that love heal those that need a touch in their bodies, Lord God. Let it encourage those that are down, Lord God. Let it lift them up, Lord God. Let them know that, Lord God, even though that you're not a man and you're not moved by our emotions, that you care for us, Lord God. You proved it, Lord God, by sending your son to us to allow him to die for us, Lord God, and raising him up, Lord God. And when you raised him up, you raised us up, Lord God, that we are now love creations, Lord God, able to manifest that nature, Lord God. To put the other nature down, Lord God, so that that new nature, the old, would serve the new, Lord God. Lord God, I speak to your people, Lord God, let love come forth, Lord God. Lord God, let it come forth in bounds and ways, boundless, Lord God, endless, not being able to be measured, that come forth from your people, Lord God. Lord God, that we might encourage others, Lord God, to, who is this Jesus that you talking about? They might see him through the love that we manifest one to another and to those that are outside these walls, Lord God. And I ask it in your son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is coming back for. He's coming back for a church that is full of his love, the agape love, the love that don't have no restrictions. It's not moved by race or color or creed. It's boundless because he's boundless. It can't be measured because he's measureless. It's unlimited because he's unlimited. Lord God, let that love flow, Lord God, from heart to heart, breath to breath. In Jesus' name, one more time, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.